Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the South Africa and Lesotho Cross Cultural Chapel. We began by greeting everyone in Sesotho, or we tried. This is the language of Lesotho and one of the 11 languages of South Africa. What you witnessed when we walked in was what we experienced going to a Chiefs versus Pirates soccer game. At the game, there was dancing, yelling, and vuvuzelas. South Africa is a place full of life. People are vibrant, loud. They have no sense of personal space, and they love to sing. We sang South Africa's national anthem for you. There are 5 different languages: Xhosa, Zulu, Sotho, Afrikaans, and English. Throughout our stay in Africa, we met people who could speak all of those languages. Our first homestay, an introduction into South African culture, was Soweto, where they mainly spoke Sotho. There was never a dull moment in Soweto, with events ranging from late-night dance parties to playing soccer in the streets, to the constant greeting of passerbys. Soweto was filled with love and Ubuntu. Ubuntu is togetherness. Everyone lives as a huge family. Your neighbor is your brother. Therefore, if your brother is in need of something, you help him right then. It is living in harmony, similar to how the Lord calls us to live with one another. That is why Soweto embraced us so easily and so quickly. After one day, we were family. We didn't just learn, we experienced. We now want to give you a glimpse of what Soweto was like.
Been in Soweto for a week.
I know, I love Soweto.
Hey, Dumela! Dumela!
Retain!
How are you?
When I first arrived in Soweto, I was amazed at the completely different world that I would be immersed in for 3 weeks. Amidst the crowded and littered streets filled with children running around everywhere, I had little idea of what to expect. However, this peculiar environment did not prevent my host mother from changing my life. As my Sowetan roommate Aaron Springer and I followed May Nora into her home, she gave us a quick tour by leading us through the kitchen, into her living room, and then pointing out the remaining 2 rooms of her house, 2 bedrooms. She also introduced us to the rest of the family living there, which were her son and 3 grandchildren. I was immediately stunned, for I would be one of 7 people packed in this tiny house for 3 weeks. But May Nora, as if she could read my mind, said, "This house is small, but it feels big if we love God and each other." I was amazed at her outlook on life, perhaps aided by the wisdom she had accrued over 70 years, and I soon discovered the meaning this would have on my experience there. May Nora gave Aaron and I her grandkids' bed to sleep in while they slept packed together in her bed. After my bucket bath each night, before Aaron and I could even finish dumping out the water, she would mop up the pools of water that always seemed to spill on the floor. In the morning, she arose by 6 in order to feed her grandkids cereal for breakfast and to prepare them for school. but she allowed Aaron and I to sleep in and often cooked us hot dogs and eggs. Before every evening meal, when the seven of us were together, we prayed and thanked God as a family. The physical limitations of her 500-square-foot home did not prevent her from constantly demonstrating her limitless love and hospitality. Although she had so little, she gave me so much. While Maynor's love and hospitality had a tremendous impact on my experience in Soweto, I am unsure of exactly how it will impact my life going forward. I can't quantify or measure her love, but I do know that her attitude in life has and will continue to inspire me to be a better person and a better Christian. Despite having so little, I was amazed by her devotion to Mother Teresa's advice of using your hands to serve and your heart to love, and I hope to apply that principle more fully and sincerely in my own life. Thanks.
Shwe Shwe was a famous chief admired for his role in the founding of Lesotho. Our next adventure was the mountainous land of a country inside a country. Lesotho was our second homestay, where we lived in the Siyanku and Malayalea villages. These families spoke less English, so our Sesotho skills were put to the test. During the second week of our time in Lesotho, we packed small backpacks and crammed into two rickety taxis that took us to an MCC mission farm. There, we worked in the mornings and had campfires at night. After we left the farm, we returned back to our villages to finish out our homestays. The villages had no electricity or indoor running water. Lesotho was a getaway, a reflective time for us. We experienced life in the simplest form. There may have been challenges or struggles to overcome, such as dealing with frantic runaway horses, bedbugs, or rats, but in the end, they were worth it. We will always remember the beautiful Lesotho stars and our days spent in the mountains of Mushweshwe's kingdom.
We've been here for a month.
I know, I can finally speak.
Mela, 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 Mela,
Mela, Mela,
Mela,
Mela,
Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela,
Mela,
Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela,
Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela,
Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela, Mela,
oh boy, what was that? I think it was a rat.
Oh my god.
Where's your flashlight? Oh, I got it on. Okay, let's shine it on. Let's hide it on the rat.
Okay, ready?
Oh, there it is! Got them!
I didn't sleep at all. Either. Okay, how was your night?
Oh,
okay.
Rats. They're huge.
She went Darth Vader on him. We should have saw
it. You guys had rats?
Yeah.
Well, we had one rat, and we just named it Sprinkles and then went back to bed.
The Lesotho sunrise really makes me humble myself past the point of really understanding the simplicity of it all, because when I look, all I see is wonder and intricate magnificence. For God created all of this for one purpose, to love. And for a reason as pure as that, the creation is that fragrant admiration of not just the rest of creation, but for a creator. For this place does not smell of pride, but dews over a glimpse of grace, the beauty of God's creation, a reminder that this abundant creation will find peace. I sit surrounded by beautiful black ladies,
My sister Ditebuho sits cross-legged, humming her loose vibrato melodies. She's hidden beneath the brim of her roxy pink hat, probably bought cheap from a Moffy Tang street vendor. My aunt resides table-housed. She whispers soft Sesotho phrases to 2-year-old Sanati, whose mischievous behavior occupies her otherwise. I look up and down, distracted from my book. My last week of humble bliss in Malelea Lesotho begins floating in and out of my thoughts and memory. You often hear when people travel abroad that they hope to touch the lives of the people they saw. Well, I have found a colorful joy here in Lesotho, one that seems to linger in my soul. These beautiful people have changed my life. I hear a bustle of laughter. I peer out the wooden doorframe of our simple life to see Lacey and our sister Impinani playing and taking pictures. With each jump and pose and slender structure, portraying her gorgeous smile, Lacey and Impinani become not only friends, but we all become sisters. Our brilliant Basutu sister, filled with wonder and excitement. The only thing she was really missing was the praise of someone who knew how brilliant she really was. Maybe then she could believe it for herself. My thoughts diverge again to the simple classrooms. Limited resources, limited teachers, and the limited encouragement made any sort of progress hard for these students. This future potential. I reflect to the days when we visited the schools, being handed chalk and told to teach whatever, the struggle to communicate and translate Sesotho in English, falling back on theater techniques to play games with the kids in order to convert lessons they understood, the runny noses of youth wishing for someone to say, "You're doing a great job. You're so smart." And with that, they could see something of themselves for a future. Someone to see that these children willing to learn just need a better system and a better encourager. It changed the way I saw education and the way that I saw my life, because with each hug and phrase that I shared, not only did my skills change their lives, but their warm smiles and gratitude changed mine. So back I drift to the wooden door frame where Sanati has joined Lacey and Impinani in their photography endeavors, and I can't help but smile. It was named family and exactly what I gained. So with the mountains aligning their majesty across the watercolored landscape, we have been blessed with so much potential, but we waste ourselves on the uninterested care of the unknown. For if they knew of these people and their willingness to learn, then they might see differently their talent and opportunity. I'm thankful every day to teach, to learn, to grow, and to see growth. And as Sanati grabs Lacey's face, plants a large kiss on her lips, and yells, "My sister, my sister," I knew it was set. I am thankful to be here surrounded by these beautiful Basutu women, and their encouragement as my family is what I want to share with others. To break the bounds of family and raise hospitality to a new level. To be encouraging, to be a change, to inspire creativity, no matter what it takes. And so, off with the plans that I had for myself. For they have taken flight, leaving room for the time-consuming, well-rewarding living plans from God. This is what Lesotho gave me. The plans to give back, to live, and to inspire. For not only my soul, but for the souls of many more than one.
As recent travelers to South Africa and Lesotho, we feel obligated to educate this community on some of the differences you might expect when traveling in this area. In the U.S., I'm known as Aaron Bridge. In South Africa, I'm known as Moshe Teboho Potoka Sonyani.
In the U.S., I'm known as Justin Hershey, but in South Africa, I'm known as Khoso.
In the U.S., you shout for a taxi.
In South Africa, the taxi shouts for you.
In the U.S., we speak one or two languages.
In South Africa, they speak 11.
In the U.S., parties are by invite.
In South Africa, what's an invite?
In the U.S., many people never dance in church.
In South Africa, it's possible to faint from spinning. In the U.S., when I open my window and I get bugs. But in South Africa, monkeys pee on my biscuits.
He accidentally ate it afterwards. In the U.S., you go surfing.
In South Africa, you go surfing with the potential of becoming a great white shark's dinner.
In the U.S., prices are non-negotiable.
In South Africa, there is a special price just for you.
In the U.S., we say hello and goodbye.
In South Africa, you say dumela and shop shop.
In the U.S., you maintain your soccer field with a lawnmower.
In Lesotho, you maintain your field with a pickaxe.
In the U.S., you are awoken by an alarm.
In South Africa, you wake up to... Nice.
Those are some of the differences you can expect, and now we'll just offer some friendly advice.
Ladies, be prepared to have 5 different men propose to you within an hour.
When using the outhouse in Lesotho, be sure to admire the scenery through the window. But tread carefully. You might fall in the poop hole.
When someone offers you a Vienna, take it. It's a hot dog.
When invited to a barbecue, arrive 5 hours late. That's when the food will be ready.
If you're fair-skinned, Aaron, apply sunscreen frequently.
Don't cook food in the oven at 350, because in South Africa, that's 662.
Be prepared to be overfed and return 10 pounds heavier.
And be sure to pack light, or you'll need to hire a horse or a strong-necked mother to carry your bag for you. Wow. These are just some helpful hints from Moshe and Hotso.
Singing was a big part of our trip. We often sang at schools, churches, with our families, and just about everywhere. When we visited a prison in Mthuli, we sang some songs for them, and then they sang for us. Then we surprised them by asking if they knew the Sesotho song, Pulangwe, and if they would like to sing it with us. They did know it, so we lined up facing each other, and when we started singing, we were awed by the moment and the way it broke down any barriers between us. Before we sang together, we were just people coming to visit, and they were just inmates living in this prison, but once we sang together, we were able to see our common humanity. We would like to share that song with you now.
Pulangwe, 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 Matata. Pulangwe, 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 Matata. Pulangwe, 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 Matata. Pulangwe, Pulangwe, Pulangwe,
After Mthuli, we traveled to Cape Town for our final homestay. Here we attended lectures about South African culture at the University of Cape Town. On our free days, we experienced Table Mountain, one of the seven wonders of the world. Some of us went to lie at the beach or surf in the shark-watched waters. We visited gardens and museums, learning lots. On Thanksgiving, many of our families wanted us to feel so much at home, they helped us cook a traditional American meal. Cape Town was a more Western feeling homestay, but we still experienced love and Africa through the city.
These are the voices of South Africa, the voices of today. Whether white, black, or colored, young or old, male or female, they all make up the diverse culture we experienced in the post-Mandela, post-apartheid country of South Africa. Many changes have occurred in the past two decades, affecting everyone differently and causing different stories to arise. These are the stories of South Africa.
I am a black high school student from Soweto. My mother and grandmother lived through apartheid and raised me to appreciate the African National Congress and all that they have done for the black majority in South Africa. My friends and I talk about joining the ANC when we're older and helping to give back to our people what's rightfully ours. One day, everyone will be equal, like Mandela envisioned, and I will be a part of it. We as youth are the future of this country, a country where blacks aren't discriminated against, and we are just as wealthy as the whites.
I'm a white South African woman. I never supported apartheid, nor am I racist. All I've wanted to do is make things right, but all I've experienced is frustration and despair. I see important jobs given to poorly educated or unqualified blacks. I've watched well-educated friends and neighbors move to countries like the UK, Canada, and the US to find better jobs, since their white skin in South Africa means less opportunity. I don't want to give up on this country, the country of my ancestors, but our government is corrupt and discrimination runs both ways. Everyone seems to have a solution to our country's problems, but I've been living with the struggle my whole life. Where do we even start? Change takes time.
I am a middle-aged colored woman living in Cape Town. I, too, lived through the apartheid. However, my education has allowed me to become more successful. And I care deeply about my home country. I speak Afrikaans, yet I'm not white. I have darker skin, yet I'm not one of the blacks. People try to label me white, black, and a mix in between. Why can't I just be colored? Where is my voice in the future of this country?
I am a white South African farmer. I was born and raised on our family farm in the Free State. I employed black and colored workers who live on the farm with us. Last year, my neighbor's farm was burned by radical black youths who claim the land is rightfully theirs. I inherited this land from my father, who inherited it from his father, and I know it like the back of my hand. The government wants to take it back and give it to the blacks who have never farmed before. What will happen to me? How will this help to rebuild our country?
I am a black 72-year-old woman living in Soweto, and I lived through apartheid. I marched with the African National Congress in the 1980s, and we eventually achieved democratic elections in 1994. The ANC was our hope for social equality and political representation. But it has been 17 years, and the promises we saw written into our new constitution are not yet our reality. My house still doesn't have running water, and my family struggles to stay employed. It saddens me to see that many of my neighbors continue to support a corrupt ANC out of fear and ignorance. If we continue to vote based on race and the past, how can we ever expect to move forward?
It was such a blessing to have such encouraging and strong leaders to share this amazing experience with.
And here is a little gift from the tribe to show our appreciation for you.
The first night in South Africa, we found this quote in a book of T.S. Eliot poetry. If you came this way, taking any route, starting from anywhere, at any time or at any season, it would always be the same. You would have to put off sense and notion. You are not here to verify, instruct yourself, or inform curiosity, or carry a report. You are here to kneel, where prayer has been valid. Because this quote set the tone for our trip, and because cross-cultural is not only an academic venture, but also a spiritual journey,
bless the places our feet have walked.
Soweto, Malelea, Bathuli, the coast of South Africa, Cape Town.
Bless our host families, our mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, even the stray dog.
Bless the uneducated and sick people.
Bless the street children with snot running into their mouths.
Bless their songs and games.
Bless the teachers who don't show up to teach.
Bless the teachers who do.
Bless the teal plastic buckets we bathed in.
Bless the stars of a different hemisphere.
Bless the orange endless mountains, purple sky.
Bless the sparkle in my host mother's eye.
Bless the laughter of our group.
Bless every sore butt that managed to survive the pony trek.
Bless the pony named Sarah who ran away with Lacey.
Bless the inmates we sang and danced with.
Bless Africa time.
Bless tea time.
Bless the foods we loved and grew tired of.
Bless those who are still eating pop and Moroho for every meal.
Bless my host sister who died of AIDS.
Bless the barbed wire on the walls around every home.
Bless dodgy metro stations.
Bless all the beggars and the pickpockets.
Bless the rain, whether it falls or not.
Bless the monkey that peed on the cookie that Justin ate.
Bless rats.
Bless the four-hour hike up Table Mountain.
Bless watchful shepherd boys.
Bless hot steamed bread.
Bless the roosters at 5 a.m.
Bless the monotonous beats of house music.
Bless Harlan's energy, Elizabeth's hugs, and Jason's common sense.
Bless the humanity of Desmond Tutu.
Bless blacks.
Whites.
Coloreds.
Bless the God who has done great things for them.
Bless the God who has done great things for us.